valahogy elmondhatnánk is jelenti, a tanácsolásra kell megcsönnöd, hogy ez a tanácsolás sűkörüljön rá. Svíj egy hangadók Isten szabít, hogy én nem mondta meg. Szállítottuk a támányt, de át is látjátok. Hát csak a previous technique, a szükség érdeke, de ti tának látnék, jó, vagy sem érjük, hogy mondom rá. Svíj Krisztina tétányának, ahogy itt jelent, de Svíjad végted át, látjuk azt, hogy
Radharani.
So if Radharani's pleased, he'll be able to approach Krishna very easily. And that is the goal of our life. That is the goal of our life. You cannot take shelter of Krishna directly. You have to take shelter of his potency. Another piece. This is from London, 1973, on Radharani. The actual aim of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, and Krishna is the origin of Vishnu Tattva, and he is pleased through Radharani. Therefore we don't worship Krishna alone, no, Radha Krishna, first Radharani. So that day is today. First you have to worship Radharani. Therefore in Vrindavan you'll see all devotees, they will address one another, Jai Radhe, still, because you know that if Radharani is pleased, if we can please Radharani, Radharani is presented, the original pleasure potency, always absorbed in thought of Krishna. So anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends Krishna. Oh, here is a devotee. He's better than me. This is Radharani. I may be not devotee. I may be most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother, Radharani, Jagat Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. Oh, Radharani says, oh, you've brought a flower. Krishna says, Tatra Pushtam Palam Tvayam Yame Bhakti Prayachati. But don't offer Krishna directly. Just offer through Radharani. It'll be very much appreciated by Radharani. So this is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani. And just today is the auspicious day of Radharani appearance. So we should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani that, Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Krishna, Radha Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. That is, today is the auspicious day. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy. Of course, you know, even to approach Radharani in a certain sense is not so easy. But put it this way. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, or told one devotee on a morning walk, enthusiastic devotee, was saying that this question came up, pleasing Krishna through Radharani, and someone raised the question then, but how are we going to approach Radharani? And one devotee enthusiastically said, through you, Prabhupada, you are the manifestation of Radharani's mercy. Our Radharani is available to us through you. You are the manifestation of Radharani. And Prabhupada became very, very grave and said something to the effect that just one tiny, tiny little shelter of someone who is known to Radharani, who's one of Radharani's team members out there in the field on her behalf. Because as Prabhupada was mentioning here, Krishna, or rather Radharani, when she sees that here is someone who wants to serve my Lord Krishna, she becomes happy. She doesn't think that, oh, here's someone who wants to take my Krishna away from me, to get my Krishna's attention and then I'll lose it. She thinks that, oh, here's someone who wants to please my Lord Krishna. Oh, here's a devotee. Let me take him or her to Krishna immediately, so Krishna will then be pleased, and I will have done something useful. I will have brought some real devotee to my Lord Krishna to do some real service. So that's her business. Her business is not so much when will Krishna and I get together, but her business, her idea, is that me, I can't really please Krishna so much, although that's all I want. I want to see Krishna pleased, but me, I'm not really capable of doing it. But there are so many devotees. Let me bring them to Krishna. So Radharani, regularly, all the time, she's looking around her gopi friends. She's understanding Krishna's in a certain mood. He wants to enjoy in a certain way. So then she looks around her friends and she sees, ah, here's one of our girls, one of our gopis. She has that nature. Krishna's in a certain mood. She's the right one to meet Krishna now. So this is Radharani's business in one sense, connecting others up with Krishna. Not herself. So her team then, in this material world, the leader of her team down in this part of the material world, is Srila Prabhupada. And he's bringing so many people back, so Radharani can then take them and present them to Krishna. Here, Krishna, look at this nice devotee we've brought. I want you to accept him. Then Krishna immediately snaps to attention. Yes, yes, of course, I'll accept this devotee. Right. So how are we going to approach Radharani? We shouldn't be too pretentious about that. That we'll just walk up to Radharani, here I am. You take me to your Krishna. But Prabhupada, he's the leader of her team down here. And we all have to play our part in that team also, but don't forget that we're in that team, that it's going through Prabhupada and then through his service like that. Right. So these are some initial ideas, important, not just ideas, but facts in our process of Krishna consciousness and particularly today. So the elevated level of these devotees is such that there's another quotation here of Srila Prabhupada that, well, let me just read a little bit of it. Prabhupada is giving some idea of the elevated level of their consciousness of Krishna, and we can compare that perhaps to ours. That Radharani and the gopis are so in anxiety that about them it is said that when Krishna used to go to the forest attending the cows, so the gopis were thinking at home that Krishna's feet are so soft that we hesitate to take his feet on our breast. But he's now walking in the forest and there's so many stones and pricks, and they're giving pain to Krishna's lotus feet. And thinking like this, they fainted. This is Gopi. Krishna's out of the village and they're at home. And they're thinking of Krishna, and they're fainting. We're not fainting, are we? We're not fainting. You don't want to say anything cheap. No, we're not fainting. That is a fact. We are not fainting. We're not here fainting. Although, you know, we're here. We're here. That's a start, isn't it? We're here. But we're not fainting. But the gopis, they were fainting. All the time they were fainting. About if Krishna is going to step on a stone or a thorn. And then they were fainting with concern. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. So,
verses in front of the deities, because we could just do a sort of little meditation.
direct meditation as we read this.
They're listening.
They're listening. Yeah, okay. O King, who is the sapphire crown of all youths. O Queen, who is the jasmine flower crown in the decorated braids of all the girls of Raja. O King, whose transcendental form is the most handsome of all forms of the personality of Godhead. O Queen, whose beauty fills with wonder the girls of Raja, who are more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. O King, whose fragrance captivates Srimati Radhana. O Queen, whose fragrance maddens Lord Madhava. O King, whose flute stuns Srimati Radharani. O Queen, whose veena charms infallible Krishna. O King, whose restless sidelong glances are the thief that steals Radha's peacefulness. O Queen, whose bumblebee sidelong glance bites the lotus of Krishna's heart. O King, who made no reply to Radha's mysterious jokes. O Queen, the hairs of whose vine-like form stood erect with joy as you heard the Prince of Raja's joking words. O King, whose splendid transcendental virtues are an eternally growing mountain of rubies. O Queen, whose many transcendental virtues are desired by Parvati and all other beautiful girls. O King of Vrindavan, O Queen of Vrindavan, bowing down before you, with a choked voice, this foolish person appeals to you. Although I am not worthy to receive your mercy, please be merciful to me, for you are the crown jewels of all who are merciful. O King and Queen, worshipped by the masters of all the worlds, they who are very merciful are filled with kindness, even for the unworthy, and even for the offenders. Although I have not the dimmest shadow of pure devotion, which is the only way to attain you, still, because you are the masters of playful, transcendental pastimes, please be merciful to me. O my King and Queen, in this world, many powerful controllers and many playful persons are seen to be merciful to the impious and indifferent. Although I am the lowest, and you are the highest, although I am a fool, and you are the greatest philosophers, although I am wicked, and you are the most saintly, and although I commit offenses when I think of you, still, O King and Queen, the shadow of whose holy names delivers one from a host of sins, please be kind to this person who sometimes chants your holy names. The most unpardonable sin is made non-existent by a small particle of devotion to you. This makes me hopeful. For this reason, I now appeal to you. Although this living entity is a cowardly unit, intense pain has now made him bald. O King and Queen, again and again he appeals to you. Please be kind to him. Loudly crying and taking a straw between his teeth, this sinful soul begs, O King and Queen, please be kind. Calling out, alas, alas, this unfortunate person begs, please hear my appeal. O King and Queen, please hear my appeal.
filled with anguish, and again and again calling out, "Alas, alas, I beg, O oceans of mercy, please be kind to this unworthy person." Placing his face in his hands, this person cries out in grief, "O King and Queen, please, please, give a small drop of your mercy." Cry, "I, who am a great fool, beg in a piteous voice, O merciful King and Queen, please splash me with your waves of mercy." To they whose hearts are filled with sweet, ecstatic devotion, you mercifully give sweet, pure love. "O King and Queen, I wish only to serve you. I do not wish anything else. Please be kind to me. O King and Queen, who are kind to the shelterless, please be kind to this person and grant the direct service he begs."
So what did you think of that?
It's very nice, isn't it? It's nicer than nice. Of course, actually, in many ways, it's beyond us, but there are also elements of it which we can identify with, or should be able to, the fallen situation and the need for that mercy. Yes. So, the goal is very exalted, sublimely exalted. We are very pitiful. So mercy is what is needed. And Srimati Radharani is always on the lookout through her team. You know, it's Gauranga's team, which means Krishna's team is out there looking for people to come back and really take up the service to please Krishna more. But how is it Gauranga's team? Because Radharani came to Krishna, therefore now Krishna's got this mood as Gauranga. So ultimately it's Radharani's mood, actually. Ultimately it's Radharani's mood. She is that ocean of mercy. She is that kind person that is being reflected in Krishna in his form as Gauranga, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, she is very glorious in her mercy. She's very glorious in her kindness. Effulgent with kindness, that golden glow of Srimati Radharani, which is reflected in Lord Chaitanya, in Lord Krishna when he is in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So, and their team are there. The team are there. We have access to this most wonderful thing. But in fact, Maharaj put it very nicely. I've heard him say it a couple of times. Don't forget where you got it from. We've got access to the most glorious thing, but don't forget where you got it from, and also don't forget where you came from, where you're coming from. In other words, let's not get puffed up about the fact that we're here and we're now able to approach Radharani and approach Krishna by her mercy. Humility. Lord Chaitanya, before he said anything about practicing Krishna consciousness, he said, "Trinada Pisavi Chena." Humility has to be there. Yes, and without that humility, there's no real grounds from which we can make our approach. There's no foundation for us to stand on to make our approach. And when there's no foundation, you just fall over. So this humility has to be there. In Srila Rupa Goswami, we saw there very beautifully how this extreme humility is there.
develop the humility. But what does that mean? First of all, it just means realizing more clearly what we actually are. A little more realism. That's all. A little more realism to start things off. You know, this is in one sense the only good fortune that we have of our own accord. Other good fortune comes from Krishna, Radharani, Prabhupada, and so on, the devotees. But the one bit of good fortune we've got of our own accord, and it's really in a certain sense great good fortune produced by us, is that we have extremely good reason to be helpful. We have immense opportunity for becoming humble, just if we look at ourselves, that a little reality is needed. But this is, we're very fortunate because humility is so important in this regard. You know, all the sort of Radhe, Radhe is all very well. And it's all very nice, actually. We're not going to discourage anyone from saying it. But all the Radhe, Radhe, without that humility, or at least, you know, some humility and an aspiration for more, and don't worry, if you aspire, you'll get more, because there's just excellent reason for it. So, you know, with that, all the Radhe Radhe, Hari Hari Bol and everything else, without humility and increasing humility, well, you know, sentiment, even if it's just sentiment for a good thing is not bad, but it still remains sentiment. And as soon as the crunch may come a little, then sentiment, being small, tends to crumble. Right. So, yes, so this is very important. We're very fortunate in this regard. Others, like Rupa Goswami, you know, on what grounds can he be humble? He expressed humility because he had been engaged in the service of the Muslim government, but he wrote Anksaduta when he was in the service of the Muslim government, and that is exalted transcendental literature. So he had very little reason to feel humble, and, you know, good reason to feel that he was doing well. But see how humble he was in approaching Radha and Krishna. So I don't know if you expected to hear this now. But anyway, this is some food for thought. And you know, I think it is really like food. We should try and let our mind and our intelligence eat these types of ideas and really try and digest them and then manifest in the form of strength in humility. Firmly situated in humility. However, having said that, Radha and Krishna, then there's another side, which is the same side, but it may appear to be another side. There's another side, is that they came here to perform their pastimes, to attract us. Yes, to attract us. Prabhupada, when he heard that there were some devotees who were, they formed like a club or something like that, in which they would meet regularly, perhaps nightly or every now and then in Los Angeles temple, and just talk about Radha Krishna conjugal affairs. And Prabhupada heard that and he didn't appreciate it. But then as the devotee who had informed him that this is going on, we're saying, yeah, you know, it's very bad Radha Krishna, conjugal pastimes, oh, you know. And Prabhupada admitted, yes, it's not, it's inappropriate. But then Prabhupada said, we do not want to boycott the gopis. In the name of being right, of proper, you know, sort of having integrity in our Krishna consciousness and not becoming sahajiyas. So we don't want to neglect Radha and Krishna's
the one time.
Is that okay? I never had that. I'll tell you after.
So one time, it was the month of Magh, which means January, February, and there in Yavat, where Radharani lives when she's married, Kuntila, who is the sister-in-law, and, you know, a rather cranky person, I think all of you are aware, to some degree, asked her, she saw Radharani and the gopis going out early, 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 in this cold morning. And Kuntila asked her, trying to be nonchalant and not suspicious, where are you going this freezing morning? And Radharani said, I have taken a solemn religious vow that this month, for the benefit of my beloved husband, the virtuous Abhimanyu, I am going to take a religious bath every morning in the Yamuna, which was a long way away. And when Radharani heard that, Kuntila heard this, she thought, a likely story. And she was right. So then, based on her suspicion, she went running over to Nandagram, which is, you know, if you run maybe 20 minutes away or something. And she asked someone, where is Sri Nandananda this freezing morning? And that devotee said, you might be surprised to hear this, but Krishna has taken a solemn religious vow to bathe in the Yamuna every morning, this cold month, despite the cold, as an austerity. And Kuntila put one and one together and got two, Radha and Krishna, and went racing down to the Yamuna. So Radha is a fact, Radha and Krishna were meeting there and enjoying transcendental pastimes, not material pastimes, but transcendental pastimes they were enjoying. And fortunately, there was one gopi, Tulsi Devi actually, was on lookout. So she raised the alarm. She came back and told Radha and Krishna, watch out. You won't guess who's coming, but Kuntila, the embodiment of misfortune, is coming. At least she is one wave which has come from the ocean of misfortune named Jatila. So, immediately everyone panicked, and Radharani and Krishna panicked, and Krishna told the gopis, don't worry, I will get out of here, but I am going to play a trick on her. I'm going to disguise myself as her brother, the husband of Radharani, Abhimanyu. And in this way, I am going to play a very extraordinary pastime. So he disappeared, and Kuntila came on the scene, just like seconds later that she just missed him. And so...
You've heard this pastime before, haven't you?
No, of course.
So, but now there is a problem. There is a problem. There are many problems, very transcendental. And this is a problem, but it's very transcendental. And we read about it, Rupa Goswami mentioned it, that Krishna's bodily fragrance is most amazing. In fact, it is so overpowering that if he has been in some place and goes to another place, it remains in the first place, which is very nice, but if he is trying to hide the fact that he was in the first place and say he was in the second place all the time, but actually he was in the first place most of the time,
But it becomes a very big problem if some person arrives in the first place, even 10 minutes later. We won't make any, you know, sort of uncouth remarks about other people's bodily fragrances, but, you know, it's like that.
over the doorway, and when he comes, you throw them on him and you just tell him what you think. And he'll tell you, no, I'm not Krishna. Tell him, you know who he is, but you're Krishna, we know. He'll claim that, no, I'm not Krishna, I have known you, of course, look at me. Then you know he's a real rascal, and you throw him on. So tune in this evening for the rest of the story. Find out what happened to Kutila and Jatila. What happened to the real Abhimanyu, and how Krishna met with Srimati Radharani. Yes. Tune in at about 8 o'clock tonight, okay?
To Radio Rani.
Radio Rani. Srimati Radharani.